Sabbath greetings, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School time. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, and here in the room with us. And what a privilege it is to gather together once more to worship our Godhead in spirit and in truth. Before we get into our study book, it is time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that for us? Please go right ahead.
Good girl. Thank you. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for those lovely prayers. We are continuing in our study book, The Desire of Ages. We are in chapter 76, titled Judas. And we're down near the top of page 719 to the paragraph that starts out, Christ's Discourse. And the last thing that we were talking about before we ended was that Christ knew in the beginning that Judas was going to betray him in the end, but Judas had not decided to betray Christ in the beginning. So Christ allowed Judas to come into connection with him for 3.5 years and to learn the teachings that Christ brought forth, the truths, to see how he acted and responded in various situations, to recognize the beauty of his character, and then to compare the life of Christ with his own. And of course, the Spirit was right there to aid Judas in putting off the old man and putting on the new man in Christ. But Judas refused to give up certain faults and defects in his character, and these led him step by step away from recognizing the truth and choosing to follow his own supposed wisdom. And Judas believed that Christ needed to take the throne of David literally. And then since Judas was close to Christ, he hoped to have a place of great responsibility in Christ's physical kingdom. But Christ was very clear that his kingdom was not of this world, that he wasn't interested in worldly fame or fortune, but he was interested in the changing of the hearts of humanity from sin to righteousness. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom at that time. So Judas was blinded by his own selfish desires and ambition for exaltation. And because of this, he was misled from understanding Christ's purpose on the earth at that time. And since Judas wanted to be exalted in Christ's literal kingdom, he then was instrumental in leading this crowd of 5,000 that had just been fed by Christ to believe that they were to take Christ by force and make him king. But Christ recognized what was taking place. He told the disciples to leave the area and travel in boat across the water. And he dismissed the crowd. And Judas was devastated. So that's where we left off. And now we're going to pick it up at this new paragraph. Again, beginning at the top of page 719. Christ's discourse in the synagogue concerning the bread of life was the turning point in the history of Judas. He heard the words, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." John 6:53. He saw that Christ was offering spiritual rather than worldly good. He regarded himself as far-sighted and thought he could see that Jesus would have no honor and that he could bestow no high position upon his followers. He determined not to unite himself so closely to Christ, but that he could draw away. He would watch, and he did watch. From that time, he expressed doubts that confused the disciples. He introduced controversies and misleading sentiments, repeating the arguments used by the scribes and Pharisees against the claims of Christ. All the little and large troubles and crosses, the difficulties and apparent hindrances to the advancement of the gospel, Judas interpreted as evidences against its truthfulness. He would introduce texts of scripture that had no connection with the truths Christ was preaching. These texts, separated from their connection, perplexed the disciples and increased the discouragement that was constantly pressing upon them. Yet all this was done by Judas in such a way as to make it appear that he was conscientious. Sounds just like Lucifer in the beginning. And while the disciples were searching for evidence to confirm the words of the great teacher, Judas would lead them almost imperceptibly on another track. Thus, in a very religious and apparently wise way, he was presenting matters in a different light from that in which Jesus had given them, and attaching to his words a meaning that he had not conveyed. His suggestions were constantly exciting an ambitious desire for temporal preferment, and thus turning the disciples from the important things they should have considered. The dissension as to which of them should be greatest was generally excited by Judas. So all of his disruptive attempts were based upon his recognizing that Christ did not want to establish a temporal kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. And Judas didn't want the spiritual. He wanted the physical. So then, since this dissension was brewing in the midst of the disciples, and Judas was the great cause of it, why did Christ continue to allow Judas to remain? Amen. The comment was mercy. You could also add kindness. You could also add a long-suffering desire to see Judas converted. Amen. Willing to save him to the uttermost. So Christ recognized all that was taking place, and yet Christ did not call Judas out and expose what he was doing. that would have embittered Judas against Christ. And it would have given him supposed justification for betraying Christ sooner. So Christ allowed the true spirit that controlled hearts time to be fully manifested. And now you can understand a little bit more why Christ gave the parable of the wheat and the tares. The tares were not to be violently rooted up because their roots were entangled or united with those of the wheat. But when the harvest came, when the ripening of the grain and the tares occurred, it was easy to recognize the difference. So Christ followed his own parable. He followed the truth and allowed the true spirit that controlled hearts time to be fully manifested. Otherwise, it might lead to the loss of other souls that would have remained true given this extra time. It was the same reason that God allowed Lucifer to continue spreading dissension in heaven, so that the true spirit would eventually be revealed and then individuals could make their decision on whom they were going to follow. But Christ did not allow these wrong sentiments and the dissension to continue to build amongst his disciples without giving them reproofs at the proper time and truths that would work to counteract this dissension. Are there any other thoughts or comments, Jerome?
I wonder if Judas ever looked back on what he was doing and questioned, why am I doing this? Or, you know, question what he was thinking and what he was doing.
Oh, I'm sure he did, because the Spirit was right there to prick his heart, to reprove him of his sins and to point him in the way of righteousness, to convict him that what he was doing was wrong. But yet we see that Judas continued on in his beliefs, even though these were out of harmony with Christ's teachings. And that shows you the power that our opinions and our beliefs can have upon us. As a man thinketh, so is he. So whatever you believe is going to affect your entire outlook on life and is going to mold your character into that image. So we're to guard the avenues of the soul or the avenues to the heart. We're to watch what we allow to be accepted in our beliefs and our opinions. And we're not just to allow anything to be accepted without testing it to see if it is true or not. And the great standard of determining right and wrong or truth and error is God's inspired word. So thus saith the Lord, and it is written. So whatever opinions we may have, whatever beliefs we have formed, we need to compare these, test these to God's word of truth, to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. If it agrees with God's inspired word, then it's truth. It's light. It's best to cling to it. But if our opinions or our beliefs do not agree 100% with God's inspired word, then it is not truth. There is no light in it. And it is not good to continue holding those opinions or sentiments or beliefs, because it will lead us away from truth. A comment in the room, it says, this shows that Judas didn't know who Jesus really was. And to a point, that is correct. I mean, Judas recognized that Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. He recognized the truth of what Christ was sharing, but he did not accept all of the truth because it disagreed with his opinions and beliefs.
If I have a question, so
a better plan.
Oh, sorry, Sister Joan. One thing that comes to mind as I'm listening to the study is how the enemy, Satan, is a user, because Satan claims this world, this earth, as his kingdom, as his dominion, and Judas, not knowing any better, wanted Christ to establish his kingdom on this earth, but that would have been in contradiction to what the enemy would have wanted. But still, the enemy used Judas to bring discord among everyone, just to see how he's just a user. He doesn't care about things. He just wants an opportunity. He just wants a little way in, so that he can use you and then dispose of you. Just that thought that came to mind.
Amen. Amen. And a great point, dear sister. The devil doesn't care how many people lose salvation, as long as they follow the devil's plan for trying to conquer God and Christ. So he only, he only cares for himself and his own desires. He doesn't care for anyone else except to help him. And when they refuse to help him, then he looks upon them as his enemy. And he seeks in any way possible to destroy them. And if it wasn't for the divine protection and merciful care of God and Christ for us, we would all have lost our lives a long time ago, because the devil doesn't like the fact that we have embraced Christ as our Savior and have left the service of the devil. And so you can see the same type of spirit existing in the heart of Judas. He was convicted that what Christ was sharing about a spiritual kingdom was true, but that spiritual kingdom did not in any way help Judas's ambition of self-exaltation. It instead destroyed self-ambition. So Judas was faced with having to humble himself and take a low position without honor, so he could be close to Christ, or to draw away from Christ and try to force a temporal kingdom being established. And Judas really didn't care about anything else that was taking place except to further his own designs and agenda. So he didn't care that he was bringing dissension and strife among the disciples, because it was that dissension and strife that would further the goals of Judas to try and turn the thoughts and the goals of the disciples away from a spiritual kingdom being established to a temporal kingdom. And if they had to force Christ to abandon his spiritual kingdom goal and put him on a temporal throne and force him to rule, then that is exactly what was going to take place. Same with the devil. He was going to establish his desire to sit on a throne equal with God, higher than Christ. And he would cause however much war and destruction as is needed to gain his goal. So we see the same with Judas. And all of this was based, founded upon selfishness. So Christ's teaching about denying self and taking up your cross and following after him, Judas says, no, I don't want to bear my cross. I don't want to humble myself and be without any kind of worldly honor. I want just the opposite. But he didn't want to draw away from Christ because he saw that Christ was the only way for the goal of Judas to be fulfilled. And it's the same with a lot of Christians today. They want eternal life, but they see the only way to gain it is to be connected with Christ. But they don't want the truth that Christ preached and is, because they would have to humble themselves. They would have to give up their sins to follow the righteous pathway of Christ. They don't want to give up worldly honor and favor. They want to cling to that. And so you have Christians claiming to be followers of Christ in name only, but in action they're just the opposite. It was what was taking place with Judas. He claimed to be a disciple of Christ. He was connected with Christ, but the actions that he was putting forth revealed that he was not benefited by the teachings of Christ. And notice that just as Lucifer did not come right out in the open in the beginning and say, everyone for me, stand with me, and everyone for God, stand with God, and let's war it out. But instead, he tried very cunning, deceptive methods to gain as much support as possible before he came out in the open. The same was being done with Judas amongst the disciples. So when you find individuals among you that are constantly bringing in different ideas from accepted biblically supported doctrines, or being the cause of contention on an ongoing basis, or steering away the discussion from the point at hand and diverting it off into some other point that hasn't yet been discussed on a continuing basis, you can recognize that there's a problem going on in their heart. And they need a lot of prayer. Now, not everyone who has questions, not everyone who brings up issues that cause strife, not everyone that brings up a differing opinion is like a Judas. But it shows here that when it becomes habitual within them, that there needs to be a lot of heart searching going on and examining of self, so that the very same course that Lucifer was led into and Judas was led into is not the same course that you're being led into. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
I think of what the psalmist said, know thyself and search me, O Lord, and see if there's anything in my heart that needs to go. Paraphrased, of course.
Amen. Amen. And what the New Testament brings out is that we're to examine ourselves and see if we are really in the faith of Christ, of course. It doesn't say that we're to examine one another to see if they're in the faith, but we're to examine ourselves. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
I was reading yesterday with my children, and I forgot what I was reading, but as I was reading, I understood that when we are under, when we're just simply not doing what the Lord is requiring for us, it is as if we are under a spell.
Amen. That's a very good way of looking at it. And that spell can be so captivating that you do not recognize that you're under it. But that's where the Spirit of God can come in and awaken you to the deception, the spell that you're under. And with your permission, that spell will be broken. The devil's power over you will be diminished and overcome if you will just decide and then follow the truth. But as long as you hold on to erroneous ideas, opinions, or doctrines, the devil has a foothold in your life. And through those errors of belief, he will keep you in the spell of deception. Just like with Judas. Judas was faced with having to decide to give up his ambitious desires to be exalted in a temporal kingdom and humble himself to be a lamb following Christ, the great shepherd. And he decided not to give up his temporal desires. That then placed him under the spell of Lucifer and led him, or was the foundation which led him, into causing all kinds of problems among the disciples and eventually betraying Christ to force the issue. He tried getting 5,000 men and women to force Christ on the throne, and Christ dismissed them and thwarted the plan. And so eventually Judas says, well, then I got to do it by myself. And he then betrayed Christ to force him to take the throne. And when Christ didn't do it, Judas recognized, I mean, we'll get to it, but he recognized that he had made a big mistake. But it was too late. And you can imagine the hideous grin that the devil had on his face when Judas recognized it was too late and that Judas was lost. So as Sister Cece brought out, the devil used Judas until Judas was of no more value and then cast him away. And the devil will do the same thing with anyone who chooses to follow him, including by clinging to false doctrines. The wine of Babylon led, as is brought out in the scriptures, the whole world to follow the beast and his image, to become drunk and receive the wrath of God. The wine there, of course, is false doctrine. And the devil is still misleading the vast majority of Christianity to cling to false doctrine and to reject the truth. Are there any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Yeah, the devil always works on your own feelings of self-worth. It's always self. And if he can cause you to feel like, wow, I really made a good decision here, a decision that wasn't prayed about and talked over with God, then he's got a hook.
That's very true. So we're to examine ourselves, not just once, but many times as we advance in knowledge and understanding to make sure that any hook, that any foothold the devil might have in our lives or in our thoughts is recognized, repented of, and put away through the grace, strength, and power of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to be misled into thinking that what we're doing, even though it's not completely in harmony with God's will, that what we're doing is okay, that God will overlook it, and that it's accomplishing a great purpose. But in actuality, we're deceived and led farther away from Christ and the truth through that foothold of the devil in our lives. Amen. We're to die daily, not just once, but every time we're tempted to exalt self and deny Christ, we are to deny self and exalt Christ. Sacrificing self, bearing that cross, any other thoughts, dear ones?
Was it Paul who said that he would glory only in the cross?
Amen. And to die was gain, Amen. So Judas was spreading dissension among the disciples, generally focusing upon who's going to be the greatest. And when was Christ going to take the throne? And what had to be done to try and bring that temporal kingdom about? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
When Jesus presented to the rich young ruler the condition of discipleship, Judas was displeased. He thought that a mistake had been made. If such men as this ruler could be connected with the believers, they would help sustain Christ's cause. If Judas were only received as a counselor, he thought, he could suggest many plans for the advantage of the little church. His principles and methods would differ somewhat from Christ, but in these things, he thought himself wiser than Christ.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So more and more you can see the similarity between Judas and Lucifer. And thus you know that it was Lucifer that was leading Judas in the plans, ways, and methods that Judas was following. So Judas had his own ideas. And he believed that his ideas were wiser than Christ. Quite amazing. So instead of being humble and accepting every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God as truth, Judas was picking and choosing. Well, I like this, what Christ said. Yeah, that's great, but I don't like what he said here. I don't believe that's right. There's got to be a better way. And that same type of spirit of putting your beliefs as being wiser or truer than what God says is truth is misleading multitudes of Christians today, especially regarding the great controversy of which day to worship God is true and which is not. God says the seventh day Sabbath is his day of worship, his holy day. But man says, no, I don't believe that. I believe that Sunday, the first day of the week, is greater than the seventh day. And they have nothing to base that change from Saturday to Sunday except their own belief. There's nothing in the Bible that brings out the change. From Genesis to Revelation, all that you'll find regarding the Sabbath of God, the holy day, to worship him, is the seventh day. So here we have the very same deception of the devil, the spell of Satan, upon Christian believers in these last days. They believe that they are wiser than Christ himself, who is the Lord of the Sabbath day. So as Lord of the Sabbath day, he knows when it occurs. And Christ only kept the seventh day Sabbath holy. Never the first day of the week. Never any other day of the week. Only the seventh day. He even rested in the tomb over the entire 24-hour period of the Sabbath. And that proves that there was no change while Christ was alive. There was no change while Christ was dead. And there's no change after Christ was resurrected, because we're told in Isaiah 66 23 and 4, I believe it is, that from one Sabbath to another shall all the people of God come to worship him on the new earth. So the seventh-day Sabbath was established at creation. It remained true after the fall of Adam and Eve. It remained still the seventh-day Sabbath after the flood. It remained the seventh-day Sabbath while Christ was alive. It was still kept by him after he died, was still kept by him after he arose, and will still be kept as the seventh-day Sabbath to worship God throughout eternity. But yet, the majority of Christians believe that Sunday is God's holy day. So now they're faced with having to accept what the Lord of the Sabbath declares, or what they themselves believe, or what the church may declare, or what the world's governments may decree. And no one is wiser than Christ, because Christ is the truth himself. So those that choose to keep a different day are showing that they believe themselves wiser than Christ, just as Judas was. They're following in the very same footsteps of Lucifer. What's going to wake them up? The truth being presented, but especially the Holy Spirit working upon their heart, breaking through the deceptive power of these false beliefs. And just like Judas was, they'll come face to face with the truth versus what they believe, and then they have to make the choice. Judas made the choice to follow his beliefs. But notice that his probation didn't immediately close. There was still more truth that Christ could reveal to Judas. There was still more chances for this greater light to penetrate the growing darkness in Judas's heart. There was still a chance left that Judas would wake up and decide to humble himself in order to follow Christ. And praise God for being long-suffering with Judas and with each one of us. How many years have we spent believing something that was not true, only to find out that we were misled? God in mercy kept the door open for us to wake up. He's still keeping that door open for us to wake up, because he doesn't want to see anyone lost, but instead all come to be saved. But he's not going to force us. But he'll make the way so plain and clear that we will be left without excuse, without justification for remaining in darkness. And the time was coming in which Judas would cross the line and lose his salvation unless he changed. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
In all that Christ said to his disciples, there was something with which in the heart Judas disagreed. Under his influence, the leaving of disaffection was fast doing its work. The disciples did not see the real agency in all this. But Jesus saw that Satan was communicating his attributes to Judas, and thus opening up a channel through which to influence the other disciples. This, a year before the betrayal, Christ declared, "Have not I chosen you 12?" he said, "and one of you is a devil." John 6, verse 6, chapter 70. Yet Judas made no open opposition, nor seemed to question the Savior's lessons. He made no outward murmur until the time of the feast in Simon's house, when Mary anointed the Savior's feet. Judas manifested his covetous disposition at the reproof from Jesus. His very spirit seemed turned to gall. Wounded pride and desire for revenge broke down the barriers, and he greed so long indulged held him in control. This will be the experience of everyone who persists in tampering with sin. The elements of depravity that are not resisted and overcome respond to Satan's temptation, and the soul is led captive at his will.
Amen. And thank you, brother. Are there any thoughts or insights, questions that you would like to share, dear ones?
Well, any sin, even just one, is a hook for the devil to hang all of his temptations on.
Amen. Amen. Excellent point. So notice here that Judas made no open opposition to what Christ was sharing, even though he disagreed with it. And he didn't come out in open opposition to what Christ was sharing until the time of the feast in Simon's house, when Mary had spent a lot of money on the ointment that she used to anoint Christ's feet and to wash with her hair. Then Judas couldn't take it anymore, and he spoke up and said, "This is a waste. We could have sold this ointment for 300 pence and helped the poor with it." And then Christ reproved Judas in the open, because Judas had publicly stated this and Christ had to publicly respond. And he says, you're always going to have the poor with you, and you can help them anytime you want to. But leave her alone, because she has done a good work. So now Judas is faced with recognizing that what he said was wrong, how he looked at it was wrong, and what Christ said was true. But would he accept the truth that Christ shared because it directly contradicted with Judas's beliefs? And Judas refused to repent. He focused upon his pride being wounded because he had spoken in the open and Christ reproved him in the open. And since pride was hurt, Judas wanted to get revenge. How dare he say those things and reprove me? How dare he not agree with what I said, but instead disagreed? And this was in front of all the disciples and all the people there in Simon's house. So instead of humbling himself and accepting the truth, he became offended and wanted to get revenge. Dear ones, when we're reproved by others, how do we take it? Do we rise up? How dare you? Or do we say, you know, I'm going to investigate into what you said about me and see if there's any truth to it. If there is, I will repent. And I will thank you for opening my eyes to what I didn't recognize. Or do we then view them as an enemy because they dared to tell us that we've done something wrong? That's true. We are naturally defensive, and only in Christ can we humble ourselves and accept the reproof, if it's justified. Amen. You can think you're strong enough to keep self hid, but you're just looking for a great fall. Because it is only through the divine power of Christ that the devil can be defeated in your life. Without Christ, you can do nothing against the devil. Any other thoughts? Any other comments?
Bible comment, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Amen. Another comment, it says, brings to mind the hymn, without him I can do nothing. Very true. So Christ understood that Judas was sinking deeper and deeper into control of the devil. And so Christ became more open and vocal in trying to wake Judas up. Christ didn't call him out in front of the disciples. Christ was mentioning, and it says here, a year before Judas decided to betray Christ, that there was 11 of the 12 that he had chosen, and one of them was being used by the devil. Well, that kind of a statement should have led every one of the disciples to examine themselves to see if they were being led by the devil and were not a true follower of Christ. So even though Christ did not call Judas out and say, you know, I know that you're thinking of betraying me, don't you dare do it. He instead revealed truth to Judas that should have led him to examine himself and recognized that he was being used of the devil. But here, when Judas openly spoke out in reproof of Mary and also a reproof of Christ for allowing Mary to anoint his feet, then Christ had to respond in public. And notice that his response to Judas was not, very intense in words, amen, not harsh towards Judas. In fact, he didn't even name him by name. He just brought out the truth that what Mary was doing was proper, that her large expenditure was proper, and that the disciples should not view her as doing something wrong. So it was a mild reproof. It wasn't strong. But yet it countered what Judas had said. And so now Judas is forced with having to admit, well, you know, I was viewing this in a wrong way. Please forgive me for my statement. I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry, Jesus. But instead of doing that, he harbored his pride and wanted to get revenge. How was he going to get revenge against Jesus? You can see the end result. Betraying the Savior. And dear ones, sad to say, but that same end result is going to be betraying God's true followers in these last days. Our greatest enemies are not from without. They're from within our ranks. And if the devil has any foothold in your life, any false doctrine that you're unwilling to give up in exchange for the truth, then the devil will lead you step by step to betraying your brethren, your sisterin. And you will think every step of the way that you're doing right. Until it's too late. And then the devil will cast you away because you're of no further service to him. May we truly examine ourselves, especially in these days, and see if we're in the true faith of Christ Jesus or not. Amen. The comment in the room, it says, also during the feast at Simon's house, Jesus rebuked Simon himself. And that's very true. Simon was thinking in his heart, if this Jesus was really the Messiah, he would know who is really touching him because Mary's a harlot. But Mary had been converted and had repented of her harlotry. And the spirit of prophecy brings out that Simon himself was instrumental in leading Mary Magdalene into harlotry. Quite amazing. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, dear ones? Please feel free.
Sorry, go ahead, Brother Carlos.
Do I talk? Can I talk? Okay, all right. I think that Judas went against this specific verse that says, "Don't be wise in your own eyes." fear the Lord. Wait, hold on. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And I think that Judas was wise in his own eyes. That's what conducted him to perdition. Yes, that's what I think. Yeah.
Amen. Proverbs 3. Go ahead, Sister Cece.
I have placed it in the chat. Just as you had pointed out, and I know we've mentioned it before, in regards to Simon leading Mary Magdalene into that lifestyle, do we know if he ever repented of that, or, you know, or even condemning her?
I believe that he did, because as you read through the passage there, dealing with Christ bringing that parable out to Simon, it was directed against Simon. What think ye? And Simon then responded that, you know, he who had the greater sin would love the most. I believe Simon got the point, recognized he was at fault, and did repent. Now, whether the scripture doesn't bring out that he had done it publicly at that particular point in time, but it does leave you with the indication that he received the reproof and allowed it to change him instead of fight against it like Judas did. Are there any other thoughts, dear ones, or comments on this or any other issue that we've gone through? Well, next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that begins, but Judas was not yet wholly hardened. In other words, he was walking that downward path, but he had not reached the point of no return yet. And so now you can understand a little more as to why Christ kept Judas connected with him instead of forcing him out. There was still a chance to save him. May God give each one of us the discernment and the wisdom to know how to respond, how to treat one another, and especially how to remain connected one with another, that we may be able to aid them in overcoming sin, false doctrine, and ultimately the devil in their hearts, and allow Christ to reign supreme. Shall we pray? Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, tender love, watchful care, long suffering, and of tender mercy, unwilling that any should perish, including ourselves, but instead that we all might come into a saving knowledge of the truth in Christ Jesus. Father, please continue to pour thy Spirit upon us, and Spirit, continue your office work in our life of reproving us, correcting us, instructing us in righteousness, revealing to us the straight, narrow, upward path that leads to eternal life, and convicting us of where we are in relation to that path. please help us not to kick against your prickings of conscience within us. Help us to recognize your still small voice of instruction and reproof and correction, and be willing to humble self that we might follow your wisdom and guidance. For you represent Christ to us. Christ is the truth. And so you will only speak to us the words of truth. Thank you also for your divine power in working within us the transformation of truth in our lives, leading us ever onward and upward, farther and farther away from the downward path that leads to destruction. Thank you for aiding us in putting off sin and allowing Jesus and his righteous character to be ingrained in our character, and allowing his truth to take hold in our hearts, dispelling all darkness and error, and allowing us to grow in instruction and wisdom of truth. Thank you for your patience within us in this work of transformation that is ever ongoing. And help us never to reach the point of saying, no, I'm not going to advance anymore. I've had enough. But help us to ever look up to the Savior and say, lead me, guide me. I'm willing to take another step upward if you're with me. Help us to love him more than we love ourselves, that we love others, that he may be the only one worthy . And thank you for helping us every step of the way. Be with those that have not yet heard the truth, and allow the rays of light to penetrate the darkness of their life. Be with those especially that are in the valley of decision. Help them with extra grace and strength and insight, discernment, to choose the path of truth and not to give it up. Be with those that have accepted the truth, and empower them to live it and to share it, being active in spreading the light so that it can fill this dark world with your glory. And thank you for the spiritual insights that are found in the Desire of Ages. And help us to remember what we have read and learned and discussed. And help us to prize the instruction given, to benefit by it, and not have it stolen away and lost. Thank you for continuing to be with us, and please continue to dwell with us, especially on this Sabbath day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, again, next time we'll pick it up about midway on page 720 to the paragraph that starts out, Judas was not yet wholly hardened. And so we'll find out more next time. Let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break and then return back here at 11:30 Pacific time or 2:30 Eastern time for our main church service. So 10 minutes, dear one.